Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
As old millennials, we've been prioritizing health and wellness a lot more these past few years. While we may not be Spencer pratting it up, not just yet. I mean, Emily, don't count us out here. With crystals on our bodies, we are thinking how much more we need to stay hydrated.
Recently, I started traveling with at least one liquid IV stick in my bag to make sure I'm staying extra hydrated, especially when it gets hotter or after a night of a little too much fun.
Liquid IV is the category-winning hydration brand fueling your well-being, and their hydration multiplier is the one product you're missing in your daily routine. Use it the first thing in the morning, before a workout, when you feel run down, or after a long night out and on long flights.
My sister recently got married, and as her maid of honor, I put liquid IV sticks in all the bachelorette party bags, and my sister and her husband put them in their goodie bags when we traveled to Costa Rica for the wedding. Those came in super handy after hitting an open bar in the sweltering heat. I'm a big fan of, it was very nice to have. I'm a huge fan of the watermelon ones and the tangerine flavor, which has an immune boost, even better when you're traveling and worried about keeping your immune system going. They fit easily in a toiletry case or even a tiny purse, so it's super easy to pour one in your water bottle.
One stick of liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone and contains 5 essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C, with 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks and probably, I mean, I know for a fact because I recently had a Gatorade, a much better taste.
Oh, absolutely. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code OLDMILLENNIALSPOD, that's OLDMILLENNIALSPOD, at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code OLDMILLENNIALSPOD at liquidiv.com. Bye!
Hi.
Hello, or should I say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Welcome back to a very holiday special episode of Old Millennials, a deep dive on shallow topics from the 90s and 2000s. I'm one of your hosts, Emily Bajan.
And I am your other host, Papa Noel, Marga Bupard.
Papa. I was trying to come up with like a pun for my name, like Emily Slejean. I don't know.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
That's actually good. That's actually very good. I should go with that. So yeah, I am Emily Slejean.
Yeah, I feel like George Santos would steal it and claim it as his. That's how good it is.
I mean, we're all going into 2024 diva upping rather than diva downing. So
mm-hmm. No, this 2024 is all about joint slays.
Oh my God.
We're ending the year so strong.
So strong. As you can tell, we're full of holiday puns today because we're going to talk about some very fun holiday topics. So we are well into the holiday season. Our windows tell us outside when it's dark at like 4:30 p.m.
It's coming. Darkness is coming.
Darkness is coming.
we thought, why not talk about some of the music that was a part of our holiday season soundtracks growing up? We thought, let's do it. I mean, it was just like the 90s, the early 2000s, everybody's releasing a holiday album. It was a myriad of artists who had contractual obligations and 5-album deals and had to get 3 albums out there plus a greatest hits plus a holiday album to fulfill probably a terrible contract. And it was just like a banging time. I mean, like, you had some real holiday bangers. Do you have a particular album or song from of all time, really, Margo, but maybe specifically in the 90s or 2000s that you really loved on the, you know, that was of a holiday variety?
I mean, I am not personally a huge holiday music fan. I blame mostly working in retail a lot of my life and having to hear it nonstop from 2 days before Thanksgiving through January 4th. But there is maybe like a, this is like a totally different pick of a holiday album, but it still holds a special place in my heart. So it was like one of the first vinyl records I was trusted to have on my own as a child, and it was the Chipmunks' Christmas.
So oh, they I love sing, that.
I mean, they sing all of the Christmas standards, if you will, in their high-pitched, yes, auto-tuned chipmunk voice. And it does hold a special place in my heart as like my favorite in really rough scare quotes holiday album. But I will say, Home for Christmas, the NSYNC album, was the one that I really did love as like a tween. It like hit at the right time.
Yeah.
It was one of those things you're like, oh, good. Like, not those, like, not your mom's Christmas music. Like, this is for me, like a tween who knows stuff.
Sure.
So it was nice to have these like original songs. But I can't say, you know, obviously Mariah Carey, her Christmas album, that's just like given. It's like the only Christmas music that doesn't make me insane. And then yeah, Wham's Last Christmas. My parents really did love Wham and George Michael, so that was like a big one. But
that's good.
You know, my number one in my heart is not NSYNC, but a different boy band, the Chipmunks.
A different kind of boy band for sure. No, I love you brought that up, because that song "Christmas Don't Be Late" always makes me think of Patton Oswalt. There's a stand-up routine where, as a kid, he took the record and he slowed it down so that, because it sped up adult male voices. Clearly, mm-hmm, that's how they made it back then. And the men, you can hear them. They're just like, okay, ready? Okay. But then like David, the adult man in this, sounds like a demon. He's like, okay, children, it's time to sing. And I'm not doing it justice. Patton Oswalt is a comedian for a reason, and I am not. But it is still a favorite stand-up bit for me. So thank you for making me think of that.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
I personally really loved Christina Aguilera's holiday album growing up. I also love Mariah Carey's album. I mean, it's just iconic for many reasons. But I think for me, you know, the album that I really to this day love, it is my favorite Christmas album of all time. It is the Charlie Brown Christmas Vince Guaraldi music. And there's nothing for me that like just signifies the holidays being here more than the song "Christmas Time Is Here" and hearing like a children's choir sing. So that is my personal favorite, obviously not from the 90s. But definitely had that VHS tape in the 90s and wore it out quite a bit.
I mean, now so, my holiday album is Disco Christmas, which is a vinyl album that I found last year in a Palm Springs record store. And I love it. And it matches Todd and Zoe's Disco Christmas, which, like, all of these songs are meant for you to do cocaine and drink martinis.
I mean,
really,
if you were
I love that vibe at the holiday time. You know, it's very counter to, yeah, what other people do.
Yes.
But I appreciate it.
Disco Noel is really a classic album, particularly for I haven't heard it. Do you and Todd have the same album?
No, we have different ones, but they're of the same spiritual piece, if you will.
Yeah, they may have come from the same kilo of coke. They may have cut, mm-hmm, the same kilo of coke. I see. Yeah.
It was definitely shared between the album's producers for sure.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So my personal favorite from Todd's album, because I haven't heard yours, is the Jingle Bells version, in which there are women singing Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells. So if you all are looking for a great novelty album.
We have a Hark, wait, like, what is the Carol of the Bells? And it's terrifying. And it's like sped up and like very disco-y. We have different songs. We have like kind of more, like the more terrifying and religious sounding ones. So it's fun to hear them disco-fied for sure.
That's wonderful. It certainly gives me a new addition to the list of albums I would like to find one day in a record store bin. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into the 90s and the holidays, because as I mentioned earlier, holiday albums were big in the 90s. They had a major resurgence and they sold some pretty big numbers, because this is right before the era of digital, of streaming. This is peak CD era. This is in your mom's car, the CD visor, Bible, whatever, like, and, you know, it is just that time. So, and it was a big time for adult contemporary music, which I think in the Venn diagram, when you look at kind of holiday albums, 90s, like the adult contemporary scene really had some big ones. I have a little game that we're going to play. I actually have two games. So the first one we're going to play is one that you actually, I think you're worried that you're not going to be good at, but you actually will be very good at, because it's probably pretty obvious. So, I have a list of the 10 highest selling holiday albums of all time of like popular music. Three of these albums are from the 90s. So the 90s represents the largest share decades wise in this list. Margo, do you think you can name the three artists from the 90s who had albums in the 90s that sold the most records?
Well, definitely Mariah.
You got one.
Is Celine in there?
You got two. You will definitely know number three. We've watched a documentary on this person.
Kenny G?
You got it. Miracles, the holiday album.
Oh, wow. Okay, because there was actually a point in revisiting Home for Christmas where there was a Kenny G sounding solo, and I was like, did they sample Kenny G in the song?
I'm
and
sure.
The answer is probably yes now at this point.
These, you're probably right, one. And two, these three albums sold bonkers numbers. So just for context, like Elvis Presley is the highest selling with 20 million, and then Michael Bublé,
I knew he was in there, but he was not in the 90s.
Not in the 90s. But number three is Mariah with 15 million. Four is Bing Crosby. Five, Kenny G has sold 13 million of that Miracles album.
That's wild.
And then followed by Celine, who has sold 12 million of her album, These Are Special Times, which we had when I was a kid, because someone gave it to us because they were like, oh, you're French Canadian. Here's Celine Dion's.
You like this, right?
You like this, which I did. I mean, I absolutely love that album. It's beautiful. She's a queen for a reason. But of course, Josh Groban's on this list. Like Bublé and Groban, between the two of them, I mean, like adult contemporary classic crossover crooning, whatever. They have sold collectively, the two of them, just of their holiday albums together, over 20 million albums.
I mean, all we're missing is Jason Mraz.
Mraz, I would maybe, yeah, sort of. I'd keep them.
You don't think
separate.
He has crossover appeal?
He has crossover appeal, but he's not like 60-year-old mom, you know, loves music like quite as much as Groban and Bublé, in my opinion. That's just me.
I think Bublé reigns supreme. I'm always surprised that Josh Groban has some like secret giant following that I'm like not fully aware of. No, I get it. There's a whole It's Always Sunny episode centered around how Groban likes his ladies pop. Like, I understand. I mean, I understand like on a level, not like I really understand because I really don't. But before we get into the second game that you have, did you see that Brenda Lee's Rocking Around the Christmas Tree dethroned Mariah's All I Want for Christmas this year?
I did not see that. Oh, my God. Oh,
happy to bring you this news fresh off the
press. Breaking news straight from the North Pole.
I mean, I agree with other, you know, fellow conspiracy theorists that Mariah was just sort of like, let her have it. She's like 99. Like, Brenda Lee is, let her be the number one song this year for Christmas. Like, not a big deal. Mariah's got another 30-year plus reign in front of her.
You get a special McDonald's menu? I don't think so.
But yeah, that's the latest in the Christmas wars.
Wow. Well, the Lamely would beg to differ, but good for Brenda Lee.
Well, my coworker saw Mariah Carey's Hollywood Bowl Christmas concert special and said it was incredible, which, you know, you and I are doing next year.
Yeah.
Taking a Southwest flight straight to Burbank to go see Mariah.
I would do that. Absolutely.
I'd do it in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me?
In a heartbeat.
I would buy tickets without asking you and just go ahead and do it.
And you're like, we're going. And I'm like, okay, clear your calendar. Yeah,
change your flight home. I like do not care. That's not my problem.
My last game is we just talked about Celine and we talked about Mariah and we talked about Kenny G. I have in front of me the list of any Christmas album that reached number one in the 1990s.
Oh.
Can you name two more artists on this list besides the three we just brought up? Think like adult contemporary 1990s or even more than that, just like the heavy hitters of the 90s.
Boys to Men?
Surprisingly not on this list. Actually, I'll give you a hint. We're talking about one of the artists today.
You might as well just tell me.
So NSYNC. I was.
Oh, NSYNC. They have like. Oh yeah, they have like a number. I didn't know if it was all time or not though.
So they hit number one. So this list is anyone that reached the number one position on the top Christmas album charts before it was renamed Top Holiday Albums.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes. So I'll just name a few more like heavy hitters in the honorable mentions. So surprisingly, sure. Boys to Men, which I came into this research thinking I'd get to talk about a lot more. They only sold about, I mean, I say only, like 1.8 million of their Christmas album, which surprised me. But the big heavy hitters in the 90s, I mean, Barry Manilow, you know, had a big one. Mannheim Steamroller had several. I mean, they're like the, you know, kings between them and like the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
I know, just keeping planetariums in business.
Certainly. Garth Brooks obviously had one.
That's actually not obvious to me at all.
Well, I mean, like, he was so big. I guess I didn't realize he had a holiday album, so I was surprised Same. About that. But, like, not surprised that Garth Brooks would have been on this list, I
mm-hmm.
guess.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Grant. Vince Gill, which is funny because those two are actually married. Harry Connick Jr. makes sense.
Another person that, like Garth Brooks, it's like, yes, I understand you were big in the 90s. But I have zero recollection of you ever having a popular Christmas album.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, again, in the 90s, it was just like, you've got a 5-album recording deal. It's like, might as well throw a holiday album.
Yeah, one of them's definitely going to be a holiday album because those just sell like hotcakes without even trying.
It's
throw
easy.
That shit in a Target and people will buy it on one of those little end caps while they're waiting in line.
People, between that and a greatest hits album, I mean, you could pull in the 90s big time. One that I was surprised about because we cut them from our list because we didn't think the album was as big as we thought it actually was, is Hanson Snowed In, which sold 2 million copies in the 90s. They were number one.
It doesn't have staying power in the way that NSYNC and 98 Degrees' Christmas album does.
They were not vocalists. They were musicians.
Sure, and even musicians is like a generous term.
Yes, but like, so Kenny G had another album, and then finally Rosie O'Donnell's A Rosie Christmas. Yes.
Well, yeah, we've got Jessica Simpson on there.
When you told me
that you had heard that song in the wild, I was like, I've heard that song too, and so I went on over to Spotify and realized. Oh, yes. The Rosie Holiday albums were huge, huge albums like in the 90s.
I mean, we've talked about her on this podcast. It's like people of a certain age will just not know how big Rosie O'Donnell was. Like she was everywhere. And this album, which I taught. So for context, guys, the other day I was running an errand. I hear a duet of Jessica Simpson and Rosie O'Donnell singing on the radio. I'm like, what is this? What on earth? And so I learned and had forgotten and relearned that Rosie released a very big album in the late 90s called A Rosie Christmas. And it features Celine Dion and Rosie O'Donnell, Cher and Rosie O'Donnell, Trisha Yearwood, Billy Joel, NSYNC, Elmo,
Gloria Estefan, Elton John, Darren Hayes from Savage Garden, Lauryn Hill, Angelica Pickles, Queen, Donny Osmond, Rosemary Clooney, and Billy Porter closes it off. So a very interesting, eclectic group of people, but that, you know, Rosie pulled people like that on her show. You know, it was just like an eclectic group of people on her show every day, any day.
I mean, I actually think that her being not in the spotlight as much as she was, obviously, 20 years ago, should indicate to everybody how rich she indeed is from her run in the from the late 80s through the 90s, because that is why we don't ever really hear from her that much anymore. Like, remember when she was writing haikus? Like, that was a whole thing. Like, she dropped that, too, because she realized, you know what? Nothing's better than just being rich and not talking to anybody.
I mean, I think the extent of it, yeah, it's the haikus. She has an occasional, I think she has a podcast, but it's not like a huge deal. Like, you know,
I wasn't even aware of that.
I only learned about it recently. I think it was because someone else I follow on Instagram was a guest on it. I was like, that makes sense. Rosie O'Donnell would probably be in the podcast game. So, yeah, I mean, good for Rosie making crazy late 90s TV money. We salute you. So I think we can actually kind of get started. And I would say, why don't you go first? Because we just talked about NSYNC very briefly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you would like to go first.
Oh, I would love to tell you about the album that I've been playing nonstop for 48 hours. I'm feeling festive, especially after I said I don't like Christmas music. I was not talking about NSYNC's Home for Christmas. Home for Christmas is the first Christmas album and the second studio album from NSYNC, and it was released exclusively in the States November 10th, 1998 by RCA, following the success of their self-titled debut album, and this would be their last contractual obligation to RCA. They would obviously go on and do No Strings Attached, which is about how much they fucking hated being on RCA's label.
Yeah, this is like probably the beginning of the Lou Pearlman lawsuits, timing-wise.
Yeah, it feels like this was the beginning of the new, like the end of old, like teeny bopper NSYNC, and now we're moving into like our next phase. We're evolving, if you will. It kind of happens to all Disney stars too. Like if you look back at like Miley Cyrus or Demi Lovato's careers, like they had, you know, their cookie cutter persona on Disney, and then they would release their Disney label albums, and the last one would be a holiday album, or to your point earlier, a greatest hits album, and that's how you knew they were about to like shed all of, you know, the like child star skin and become whatever this next iteration of their brand and persona would be.
Hilary Duff released a greatest hits album after two albums. That's exactly why she did it.
That's exactly it. Same thing. Okay. But back to our favorite boy banders. In October of 1999, Home for Christmas was certified double platinum for the shipment of 2 million copies in the States. Home for Christmas was eventually sold in the UK, and not many years later, in September of 2002, but it was called The Meaning of Christmas, and it had an altered track listing. One of my favorite Christmas songs, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, was released as a single in the States and in Germany as well due to its inclusion on the group's German seasonal album, The Winter Album. Because never forget, they were big in Germany first and they even had German girlfriends at the outset of their career.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. As of December of 2014, Home for Christmas has sold 2.8 million copies. I would please put a little pin in this number because what I'm about to say at the end, I wonder how those numbers have changed, obviously, since. So since December 2014, it has sold 2.8 million copies just in the States, making it the 15th best-selling Christmas / holiday album in the U.S. since Nielsen started tracking music sales in 1991. At the time of its release, Home for Christmas was met with pretty lukewarm to almost negative reviews from critics who thought that the song lyrics sounded like, quote, sentimental-sounding non sequiturs, which is not, like, completely wrong, but doesn't make it a bad song. They were being told that they didn't have, quote, the same charisma as Backstreet Boys or even the Spice Girls. However, critics would eventually praise the album for having at least 11 original tracks, as well as for its, quote, slickly produced adult contemporary ballads and light dance pop. There are only three traditional Christmas songs on the album. The rest, other than a Casey and JoJo cover, were original / attempted additions to the holiday music canon, including Home for Christmas, I Never Knew the Meaning of Christmas, The Only Gift, and Under My Tree. I think Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays is definitely a millennial holiday classic by this point.
I would second that for sure. It's just to this day, like, it just hits. It's great.
Yeah, so I think that they did it. I think that their attempt, at least one of their attempts, was very successful. And, you know, I can't say that The Only Gift is, like, a song that I, like, go to when I reach for this album. But like most things in life, hindsight is 20/20, and this album is now praised for its impressive 5-part harmonies on songs like their a cappella rendition of O Holy Night. And although the lead vocals are mostly led by our turtleneck prince, JC, and Genuine's arch nemesis, JT, the album is also known as a rare NSYNC album that gives Chris Kirkpatrick, Joey Fatone, and Lance Bass, you know, the other members of the band, vocal opportunities to shine. Under My Tree and I Guess It's Christmas has Chris Kirkpatrick on lead vocals. All I Want Is You, in parentheses, This Christmas, It's Christmas, has Chris and Joey Fatone on lead vocals. And The Only Gift has Kirkpatrick, Fatone, and Lance Bass on lead vocal. So look at that. They're on a bunch of songs. Home for Christmas peaked at number 7 on the Billboard 200 and was number 5 on the U.S. Top Holiday Albums. Earlier this year, though, unclear if it was before that, like, weird reunion thing that happened at the VMAs, they released a presale for the 25th anniversary vinyl pressing of Home for Christmas. It sold out within hours. Luckily, though, they still have some Home for Holiday merch you can buy on their website. Yes, I checked. It's in stock. And that's all I have for Home for Christmas.
What a great album. And this is one that has, like, maybe not the original songs other than Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, has a bit more staying power for me personally. I got to do some research on 98 Degrees' This Christmas, which we owned in my household growing up. We didn't own NSYNC, and that is because my sister and I were Team BSB, so we were pretty loyal. But as an adult, I can very wisely admit that that album is fantastic. NSYNC was incredibly talented, and my allegiances were simply because at the time I felt like I had to pick one. So 98 Degrees, when they released this album This Christmas, was just getting off of selling 4 million copies of their second album, 98 Degrees and Rising. This Christmas marked the first album they released on Universal Records, and the reason is because their first two albums were released on Motown Records. So for context, 98 Degrees was signed to Motown Records, and Nick Lachey has talked about this in interviews, that they were basically signed to be like a white Boys to Men, who were label mates at the time. And they really tried hard to differentiate themselves from the other boy bands in the landscape because they wrote some of their music, they were more R&B harmony focused than choreo focused, and they were actually signed to Motown but had started on their own versus being assembled by Lou Pearlman or another label. Like, it was, they kind of got together on their own. They were a little bit older. So that was how they were kind of differentiating themselves back then. So I wish I had more information on this album, but it's really slim from an info perspective, unfortunately. It was 98 Degrees' third album, released October 19th, 1999, and the album sold over 1 million copies in the US alone and spawned a hit single, This Gift, which was one of the original songs on this album. That song was written by Anders Bagg, Arnthor Bergeson, Dane DeVillier or DeViller, and Sean Hossein. And yes, because this is 1999, many of the writers on that song were Swedish. Anders Bagg is best known with Peter Astrom as the producer duo Bagg and Peer.
And Bag had already had a big hit with 98 Degrees, writing and producing the song Because of You, which I will forever associate with killing my lobster because of a sketch that I got to watch one time. Did you write that sketch?
No, I don't. No, I don't think so. Maybe I can identify who did, though.
It was very funny. I forget what it was about, but it had to do with 98 Degrees, and they kept singing.
Oh, was it the conspiracy theory one?
Yes.
Oh, that was one of the class. That was for a final read that my students wrote, and it was he was a student and then eventually became a writer for KML. But yeah, that was Sam's sketch, and it was extremely funny. It was like Nick Lachey got really deep into YouTube conspiracies, and he would weave them into the lyrics of 98 Degrees songs, and everybody else in the band had to keep being like, Nick, you gotta like relax, like it's not real, like 9/11 really happened.
It was a very funny sketch.
It was great. That is an all-time great.
This songwriter, Bag, has written and produced songs for Westlife, Janet Jackson, Celine Dion, Madonna, Santana, Jennifer Lopez, Nick Lachey, Jessica Simpson, Samantha Mumba, Enrique Iglesias, Ace of Base, and Ashley Tisdale. And he's also participated in the Eurovision Song Contest twice as a songwriter, both for both times he was representing Azerbaijan. One of the other Swedish songwriters on this song, Arthur Bergesen, and I'm so sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, probably am, is best known for co-writing Because of You with Bag that I just mentioned. And then he was also part of the same music publishing company, Merlin Music, and co-wrote Samantha Mumba's Gotta Tell You, Jennifer Lopez's Play, Jessica Simpson's Irresistible, Carlos Santana's Let Me Love You Tonight, Celine Dion's Sorry for Love, Janet Jackson's All Night, and Danity Kane's Stay With Me. So quite a roster of 2000s classics. This song, This Gift, was released Christmas 1999 and peaked at number 49 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 charts and number 14 on the Adult Contemporary Tracks chart. And other than that, the track listing is mostly classics. There's a couple of originals, If Every Day Could Be Christmas, which I don't know if it's an original so much as like a cover of a newer song. And then This Gift is obviously another original. But the rest are pretty much classics. So God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, The Christmas Song, I'll Be Home for Christmas, Oh Holy Night, This Gift, which I just talked about, Little Drummer Boy, Christmas Wish, Silent Night, Ave Maria. And a few of these are a cappella because 98 Degrees made a big deal about singing a cappella, I'll Be Home for Christmas and Ave Maria. And much like the NSYNC album, the other members besides Nick Lachey got to sing lead on this album. So you get to hear them throughout, which is nice. And I will end my notes on this album with a headline I got to read from 2022 while I was doing my research. Boy band icons from 98 Degrees, O-Town, All for One, and Ryan Cabrera come together for a boy band Christmas holiday tour. Yes, last year there was a holiday tour featuring all boy bands, but then Ryan Cabrera, who just kind of gets to ride on the coattails of the boy bands.
Did he ever have a holiday album?
No.
I don't recall that. Okay.
Honestly, we made up one for him on the sleigh down. We talk about it all the time.
I forgot. That's not real. Okay. Yeah.
It's not real.
Holiday album. That was just an inside joke. So great. Well, I'm glad that we could do the hard work for Ryan Cabrera because Lord knows someone's got to do it.
Someone's got to do it. But speaking of Mandela affecting dreams, honorable mention to the Backstreet Boys, who, contrary to popular belief, didn't release a holiday album in 1999 like everyone else. We definitely had Mandela effect style memories around this, but they only released a holiday album last year in 2022. So
I don't know if it's Mandela effect so much as it is like, oh, well, everybody else was doing it. I assume that they had one too or something. I'm sure they have like a Backstreet Boys Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays of their own. What it is, I don't know. But that's not true, Ellen. They never had a holiday album up until like a year or two ago. And they're like, wow, we're just like literally leaving money on the table. Even Sia has a holiday album. Like, nothing is beneath you. Let's get it together.
Well, what's interesting is you bring up a point that I'd forgotten, which is there are quite a few artists at the time who may have not had a holiday album of their own,
sure,
but had a holiday single, like Britney Spears' My Only Wish.
Oh, sure.
Which Britney missed out on releasing an album. I think that could have been, you know, a great, fun album. But yeah, she didn't do that. And I think Jessica Simpson must have had a holiday album. I mean, with that version of Pam Pam.
Well, I don't know. That could have just been for like the Macy's Day Parade or whatever and never seen or heard of again.
I mean, I'm looking it up now because maybe, like we talked about, we thought she released one. No, you are correct. She never released a holiday album. She just had the holiday special with Nick Lachey where she and Ashley Simpson sing this very overtly sexual little drummer boy. I forgot
they tried to make Jessica and Nick into like Sonny and Cher with that variety show. Completely
ironically,
forgot about that.
Both around the tales of soon to happen divorces.
Yeah. You know what's going to keep this marriage together? Forcing you to film a variety show with each other. I had to go look up this gift because I feel like I remember the music video more than I remember the song. And I have to say that these lyrics are exactly why at like 10 years old, I was like, I could fully be a songwriter. This is not complicated. I can fully come up with these words by myself. The snow is falling. The city is white. Your eyes are shining like diamonds tonight. All you gotta do is rhyme white and tonight. I can do that. That's not hard.
Okay, I have to
stop. We're all alone. There's no one home. You're finally in my arms again. The night is silent. The moment is here. I have to. Basically, this is about him like buying her a gift, but it also sounds like he's trying to bang her, and that's also a gift.
Tonight, I'm down on my knees. There's nowhere. Something tonight. Yeah, it's like tonight I'm going to give you all my heart. It's very, yeah, it could be gift or sexual. Okay, I have to walk back on this because she did release a holiday album. It was called Rejoice, as in R-E-J-O-Y-C-E, the Christmas album.
No.
Yep, and she released it in 2004. So I wasn't, and she did in fact release an album version of The Little Drummer Boy with Ashley Simpson. And then a version of Baby It's Cold Outside with Nick Lachey. And I'm trying to see if there are any other
terrible
notable
song for them to do together.
I know.
Wow. Talk about cursed union.
Cursed union indeed. I mean, this was there. So they had this holiday special and I'm trying to remember if there was anyone else kind of notable on it. It was like the Nick and Jessica. I mean, there was the Nick and Jessica Variety Hour, which had that god-awful cover of Who Will Save Your Soul with Jewel.
Let's not get started down the Jewel path, okay?
I know. We've already – so for those of you who haven't heard, Jewel and Kevin Costner are allegedly dating, which is a fascinating development. But as I said to Margot when we were chatting about it, I feel like she's always been a little like Yellowstone coded herself, being that she married a rodeo star.
Exactly. It makes tons of sense when you take a step back and realize that she divorced her first husband was a rodeo star. So,
yeah.
And that she's, you know, from Alaska and likes to do that kind of stuff or whatever. I mean, I'm sure. I don't know how you could read the headlines about Kevin Costner's divorce and be like, sounds good. I'll go for a date with this guy. He sounds really nice and not like a jerk at all. But and yet here we are. And we had to look at those blurry photos while
here
on vacation.
We are. Indeed. Well, I just wanted to let you all know in case you want to watch Nick and Jessica's Family Christmas.
Is it available?
Someone has done the Lord's work and added it to YouTube so you can watch that very special rendition of Lil Drummer Boy. That is a fascinating rendition. And then, I think 98 Degrees sings together in this special. And I believe Boys to Men may or may not have made an appearance. So there are a couple of interesting appearances throughout the special. But yeah, if you want to see a real like time capsule of what 2004 was like, look no further than YouTube and just search for the Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey family holiday special.
And surely you've seen the Little Drummer Boy clip circulating on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, because I feel like it goes around, especially this time of year, a lot.
Yes.
I feel like I've already come across it a dozen times.
I think I've posted it. I sent it to you already. I'm sure of it.
That sounds correct. I mean, I also can't go a holiday season without hearing a little pa, ra, pa, pa, pa. I wonder if they'll ever have that Nick and Jessica special available to stream on Peacock or whatever, wherever it originally aired. I'd be so curious to see that.
So it looks like it was ABC. So Disney Plus or Hulu, you've got work to do.
They're like, no, sorry, we're too busy taking down content. We're not adding anything new.
I feel like there is a RuPaul Drag Race opportunity here where I think
funniest thing possible.
I think if there hasn't been a drag performance out there somewhere in a bar on a stage of two drag queens performing as Jessica and Ashley Simpson, Lil Drummer Boy, that's a real missed opportunity. And so if there are any drag performers listening to our podcast, may we make a request this holiday season that you perform the sassiest, I wouldn't call it sassy, just the weirdest, hypersexualized.
The breathiest, campiest rendition of a song really not that interesting, but is made interesting by this rendition.
Truly. It really blows all of the 1950s choral versions out of the water.
You'll never hear this song the same.
You certainly won't. You certainly won't. And on that note, we say thank you so much for listening to our podcast. This is our season finale, but we will be back next year. We're taking a bit of a break, and we will probably be back in the spring with some episodes. So the best way you can keep up to date and know what's going on is to find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen, and hit that subscribe button, because that's where you'll get updates from us. And in the meantime, we're also on social media. So you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. We are at the Old Millennials Pod, and we will be posting fun content as we see fit. Are there any other things you want to say, Margo, before we end this episode?
Thanks for listening this year and supporting our podcast. We appreciate all of you, and we wish you a happy holidays. Well, a Merry Christmas, a happy holidays, and also a happy New Year.
A happy New Year. And until next time, we say bye-bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.